This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And I'm here with Bun Bun.
Yeah. The word is out.
Yeah, man. You know, I mean, you know, Frank Kelly and the guys from Kelly and Associates.
Well, Kelly, yeah.
Kelly, that's what they go by now, right?
Kelly, yeah. Kelly. Yeah. Payroll and benefits, all that.
Benefits and all that kind of good stuff. They're friends of yours, and I've indirectly known them for years and around the same circles, but you're good friends of theirs, and we were visiting with them, and they gave your nickname away, Bun Bun.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, so
well, it's funny how I got that in college. They kept it going, and then years later, my dad told me that's what they called him back when he was in the National Guard, you know, 40, 50 years ago. So
I guess they got that from Bun Vasudo.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
You think that's where they got it?
Yeah.
You're good, good.
Good, good.
Very good. Anyway, we're here on an open show tonight. So if you want to call in and direct the call, the way the show goes tonight and what we discuss, then you got to call in, 410-922-6680. Ask any question that you would like. If you want the conversation to go in your direction to hear more about something that you want to talk about, 410-922-6680. And we actually, when we were at Kelly, there was a gentleman, I can't remember, was his name Mark Hammond? Was that, was that the gentleman that we met that said he listened to the show?
Yeah.
And he actually liked the show.
Yeah,
I thought that was
show.
Amazing.
So he might be listening tonight. So maybe he'll call in with a question.
Yeah, but there you go.
He was an expert in like kind of Medicare plan.
Medicare supplementals and Medigap and Medicare B and D and all that kind of great stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and he was talking about how some people in some high-level places need help with this because it's so darn complicated.
Yeah.
And it is. I mean, I do this. I my wife is on Medicare now, and I helped her with it. And she's like, how does any senior figure this out?
Yeah.
I could never do this. You know, it's just, and it is. And I'm sitting there struggling with it sometimes because it's so ridiculous what they put you through.
It's
anyway,
complex, for sure.
We're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question and direct the conversation of our show, and we're going to do a few open shows, extra open shows over the next few weeks. We're going to have guests occasionally, but we're going to try to do more open shows. But if our lines stay empty like this, we may not do open shows anymore.
Well, we'll
just
keep talking. And actually, next week we have Ron Draeger is going to be.
We're going to talk about Medicare supplements and so forth.
Yeah, that'll be a good week.
But I did want to do a Drew's View, and this is an article we just wrote. Annuities, Misleading at Best is the title. Now, you know, people are hearing these commercials and they're saying you get a bonus, you get a guaranteed 7% rate of return, and the way that is being done is different in different annuity vehicles.
Mm.
Like, for example, when I see Rob Barrowy. When I see him, from what I could tell from, you know, his commercials and looking at his website, he's talking strictly about equity index annuities. Mm. And that's a misleading at best is a very good way to put it about that product.
Yeah.
And but that's not the way I wrote the article from. I've talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's others out there. You know, Everett Wealth Management also seems to lean toward the equity index annuities. Mm-hmm. But there are others out there that are talking about the guaranteed withdrawal and the 7% accumulation fund guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I wrote this article from. It's from this point of view of this guaranteed withdrawal with the 7% accumulation fund, which is completely designed to confuse and complicate people's thinking to make them feel like they're getting a 7% rate of return, to make them feel like they're getting this incredible bonus.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. And when I look at this, you know, when I look at Barrowy and Retirement Income Solutions or whatever he's called and Everest Wealth Management and these equity index annuities and the bonus they're offering, you know, it's amazing how they put this together to make it sound like you're going to get a 7% rate of return.
Right.
But that's only like if all the planets line up, you could get 7%. Matter of fact, somebody did an analysis. Fidelity does a great analysis of equity index annuities. And that's exactly what our article says at the end. Go to the no commission people like Schwab and Fidelity and Vanguard and T. Rowe Price. Go to them and ask them about equity index annuities and guaranteed withdrawal annuities. And that way, they sell these products, okay? But there are no commissions, there are no surrender charges, there's no excessive tricks, and they try to educate you to make sure you understand exactly what you're getting so that you know, this is what I want to do. And if you do, great.
Yep.
This is the way to do it.
Yep.
So anyway, that's Drew's view. Let me go to Terry real quick in Pikesville. Terry, how can we help you?
Oh, yeah. I know that good evening. I know that we're not going to be getting a cost of living. I'm on a Social Security disability.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I know that, that there's no cost of living and adjustment. But is Medicare going to go up for people? I'm hearing conflicting stories about that. Is that going to go up or what?
There is a confusion about that, and it's like there could be a tiny bump in Medicare because of the weird way that it's calculated, but it's going to be trivial from what I understand.
Okay,
because there is a law protecting Social Security recipients that Medicare cannot force a decrease in your overall income. But because of the way it's calculated, there's something that's going to overcome that, but it's a nominal differential from what I'm seeing in here. And so I wouldn't think too much about it.
Okay. And also another thing, could the president invoke an executive order to give the people that are on Social Security an increase?
Sure.
Okay.
But he may have to have that approved by Congress.
Okay.
But I doubt seriously it'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so don't expect it. All right?
Right.
All right. Thanks a lot, okay?
Thanks, Terry.
All right.
We've got to take a Drew break. It's not even a break. It's a pause. You have down here a break. And I'm not going to break. I'm going to pause. So go ahead and pause. Here, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
One day we're going to have to expand Anita's horizons.
Yep.
You know? Anyway, well...
I kind of expected Back to the Future music tonight or something.
Yeah, there you
Come
go.
Come on, Anita.
This is the day. They're here somewhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. We have people on the line. If you want to call in, 410-922-6680. We're going to Ed in Westminster. Ed. Are you still there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, Drew. How are you?
Doing great, Ed. What's up?
Okay, I'm 59 years old. Make about $140,000 a year.
I put single or married?
Married.
Okay.
I'm putting 8% of my salary into a 401k. It's an after-tax 401k. So if I make any withdrawals, the amount I put in, I never pay taxes on it. Just convenient because I do occasionally.
So it's the Roth 401k.
Well, they don't call it a Roth, but there's a penalty if I start taking out the amount that has grown.
Huh.
If I take out the principal, I'm okay. But if I take out the amount that's grown, there's a penalty, I guess, until 59 and a half, and then it's taxable. Anything that's increased is taxable in this 401k, and as I understand, a Roth is not taxable.
Yeah, that's right. It's tax-free. So then that's called a non-deductible contribution to a 401k. And when you turn 59 and a half, what you'd want to do is you'd want to roll that, do an in-service rollover of your after-tax contributions to a Roth IRA to secure that money into a Roth from that point on.
Okay, would I have to? My company offers lots of offers a Roth option, so I could probably do that. But I'd have to figure out how much, what part of it is earned versus just the principal.
Yeah, well, they have that. They have the after tax contributions available to you, and I think you'd still be better to roll it to a Roth IRA. Now, I will say, though, Ed, there are a lot of little complications, like, for example, do you have NUA available, net unrealized appreciation? In other words, company stock available to be purchased in the plan and so forth. So, you know,
It's all in a money fund.
Your investments are all in a money fund?
As of right now, yeah.
Huh.
It's a very safe bond.
Well, you don't want to be doing that, do you?
Well, I have other money in other investments.
Okay.
This particular money I put in, this is the safe stuff.
Yeah. But, you know, you should be, you know, hopefully you're not still contributing to the after-tax side of this account that's not a Roth.
Should I be contributing to the Roth?
Absolutely.
Sure. Yep.
That's the only place you should be contributing other than the traditional, yeah.
At what point can I start withdrawing from the Roth and not pay any taxes on it?
Well, that's, you know, it's 59.5, and I believe you have to have at least the Roth in existence for 5 years. Now, do you have a Roth IRA outside of the 401k?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, you want to set one of them up because your income's low enough. You want to get it set up as soon as possible so your five-year clock is ticking.
Okay.
But you know, you should have plenty of money that you can draw upon at 59.5 that this money can sit for 5 years without any problem. And you can always take the contributions back anytime you want without any issue, even if you do put it in the Roth.
Okay, so a Roth is fully... You can take out your principal with no penalty.
Correct. Anytime. Mm-hmm. Anytime. After 59.5 in your 401k, anytime in an IRA Roth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, yeah, that sounds like a no-brainer.
But you should get some tax advice on this before you do it, because there's lots of little issues you got to be careful about. Okay, I got to run. I got to catch a couple other callers.
Thank you very much.
All right, Ed. Frank in Baltimore, how can I help you?
Hi, Drew. If you're doing tax planning in 2015 for calendar year 2016, do you know of any AGI deductions that are controllable that you can use? For instance, the most popular would be a deductible contribution to an IRA if you're eligible.
Right.
You can make that, and that would reduce your AGI by several thousand dollars, whatever you put in.
How old are you?
Well, I'm 63.
Okay.
And, I'm trying.
How about
to...
a high deductible health plan so that you can do an HSA, which is AGI deductible?
I don't think I'm eligible for that.
Well, I mean, can't you get a high deductible health plan? And if you're in relatively good health, you and if you're married or in good health, it'd probably be to your significant benefit.
Ah, is that something you can buy in the open market?
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, the exchange, that's predominantly what they do is HSA qualified plans.
Okay. Anything else? Because, like, it looks like most of them on the 1040 are not controllable, like alimony.
Do you work still?
No, retired.
You're retired. Yeah, you know, the deductions against AGI are very difficult to come up with if you're not still working or if you don't have an HSA, because most of them are geared toward pension plans. Mm-hmm. And self-employed, you know, deductions such as a business owner would have a negative income possibly and things of that sort. So it's a real tough one, Frank. If you, why do you want to get your AGI done?
Well, I was on the internet and I was looking at the publication of Social Security for higher income Medicare.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And I couldn't believe how stringent that is. For instance...
But you have to be... Are you married or single?
Single.
So you'd only have to... You'd have to be over $85,000 of income. Is your income over $85,000?
Not normally, but like with capital gains and all.
Well, then what you have to do is you need to own more like ETFs and things like that so you don't create a lot of capital gains.
Right.
So I think one of your bigger issues, Frank, is not to get a deduction, but figure out how to stop things from creating income for you.
Right.
So that's what I would recommend. Okay. And ETFs are a great way to eliminate a lot of that capital gain issue. All right, I got to run.
All righty, thanks a lot.
Thank you. All right, George in Anne Arundel County, how can we help you?
Hi there. Well, I had a question, but let me make two quick comments first. One is two callers ago when that the fellow who was 59 and a half and concluded that it was a no-brainer for him to withdraw from his Roth because there was no longer a penalty. But I bet he didn't realize that there is a tax. He's got to pay full income tax on anything coming out of that Roth.
No, not on the contributions, my friend.
Oh, no, no, but on...
Not on the contributions. You know, let's say he puts $25,000
in. Okay. No, I'm sorry.
That's what we were saying. We were saying you could take the contributions back out of the Roth.
Right. Okay, I got it. Okay.
All right.
But I did want to mention that with the caller that asked about Medicare, that in the articles I've read, that although in the lower income or regular income levels, there's probably no likelihood of any increase whatsoever. But for higher income, that if you're at the IRMA level of 85 for a single person, that that we could get up to a 50% increase.
That's what Frank was just talking about.
Yeah,
that's what he was concerned about. And married 170. But you know what also is interesting, George? There was a bipartisan committee that wants to drop married down to 90,000 and single down to 45.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, ask your question on index annuities before I have to run.
Yeah, so on index annuities, one of the things that I've never heard specifically, but I wondered if this is one of the catches. And I've never bought an annuity, but I've looked at a couple, and there's so much, small print that it's just, I just couldn't do it. But is it possible that part of the gimmick here is with that 7% guaranteed that once you start drawing down your annuity, getting the payouts, that although you may get 7% on what you originally put in, but do they stop any accrual of any earnings on what your balance is?
Well, it depends what you're referring to. So on equity index annuities, there's no truth to the 7%. That's only the max rate that you may get if all the planets line up. And they're using the S&P 500, but they're not including dividends. And going back to 1930, dividends were 40% of the rate of return of the index. And, you know, and there's also, you have to be careful about what's the participation rate and do you have spread fees and all these other kind of things. And so, you know, Fidelity does a great article on this. And if anybody wants to get that, just email me, drew@drewtig.com, and I'll send it to you so you can see how they do it. But on the other side, George, you have the guaranteed withdrawal annuity. And what they're doing is very simple, is the insurance company just saying, I'm going to give you $5,000 or $7,000 a year on your money every year. And it doesn't matter to me if I'm withdrawing that from your principal or your earnings. And if at the end of the time when you pass away or you want to stop this, you might not have anything left in your account, is irrelevant to us. So that's where the trick is in the guaranteed withdrawal annuity, is that they're paying you a withdrawal, not a rate of return, and whether they're taking it from your original principal or whether they're taking it from the actual investments and what they're earning is totally irrelevant to the insurance company. And if you do the math, they could do this for 20 years before the insurance company actually has to put out hardly any money on their own initiative to the client. So just think about that. A 65-year-old is getting his own money back maybe for 20 years until the insurance company ever has a risk of having to put a dollar out of their own pocket.
Gotcha.
Anyway,
so it's 7% including your principal.
No. You got to be careful. These guaranteed withdrawal annuities can be anywhere from as low as 3% guaranteed withdrawal up to 7%, but normally you don't see that until you're 80 years of age. You're 80 years of age, it'll give you a 7% guaranteed withdrawal. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, anyway, there are a lot of smoke and mirrors in these things. Right. You got to know what you're buying. I got to run. Sorry, I can't take
Thank
more time
much.
With you, George. I got to take a hard pause, even though it's about 2 minutes, 3 minutes later, but I'm hard pausing to traffic.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing, of thee I sing today.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
She knows that she will never get complaints about singing about the great country of the United States, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but we may get the theme song from Back to the Future. Do you know how to, you know that song?
I'm not sure what it is.
There was a theme song to that movie, wasn't there? I think I remember.
I'll have to call Megan in our office because she's a big Back to the Future fan, so...
Yeah.
You know.
So anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680. I have one person online. That means there are two or three lines open easily, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and direct the conversation to something that you wanted to learn about, 410-922-6680. I'm going to Rob in Columbia. Rob, how can we help you?
I'll give you a little background. I'm just turning 50, and my wife's turning 50. We're self-employed, and we're starting to get a Social Security statement of what they're going to be paying out at retirement age.
Okay.
Mine's paying around $2,400 and some change, and hers is like $1,600.
Okay.
My question is, based on our company, depends on our year, we've been paying and making mine pay more just to get rid of the FICA and all that stuff so we don't have to pay that over once we reach the threshold.
Yep.
Should to make her pay out when she goes to retirement age, should sometimes maybe we should pay her a higher salary and my salary lower?
That's a great question, and it's a complicated one. So it would really require an analysis to figure that out. But here's the one thing. There's two sides to that coin, Rob, okay? So one side of the coin is if you did push more income to her, her wages would be higher, and therefore she would get a greater Social Security check. But if you know how Social Security works, people who make less than the full Social Security maximum income, and actually it's somewhere more in like the 80,000 range, you know, they get a higher amount of Social Security in the end. So let me give you an example. Let's say you had somebody making 100,000, somebody making 50,000, somebody making 25,000 all of their life, and the guy at 100,000 got a $2,000 a month Social Security at his full retirement age. They're all the exact same age, and this is the income you made. Okay, now you would assume the $50,000 guy would get $1,000 a month, and the $25,000 guy, he'd get $500 a month. But nothing could be further from the truth, because as Mr. Social Security himself says, Social Security and social insurance keep people out of poverty. So when your income's lower, you get a bigger boost in your Social Security check. So the guy who made $50,000 a year, he's going to get more like $1,400 to $1,500 a month. And the guy that made $25,000 a year, he's going to get more like $1,000 a month. So you can see there's oomph when you're in that middle income bracket. So the answer to your question is it's extremely complex, and it would really need to have an analysis done to determine if paying in more money will be a good rate of return on her money, or is she getting more oomph for what she's already paid in? Just stick with it, because once one of the two of you dies, you're going to lose one of those Social Securities anyway. So hopefully that's helpful to you.
That is somewhat helpful, but that was my question. I was trying to figure it out, and I'm like, this is too confusing for me.
It's you know, we have a Social Security maximizer we use, and I guess that's what we would use to try to run numerous algorithms saying, you know, let's say she umps it up and this is what happens, let's say, you know, we did this, what's my rate of return going to be on it? But it's extremely complicated, and I think if I were you, I'd probably be happy with where she's at, and I'm just giving you an off-the-cuff thought.
Right.
Nothing, you know, do the analysis, okay?
Rob, you doing any other retirement planning or vehicles?
Yes.
Or?
I have a simple IRA through the company.
Mm-hmm. You should probably be moving to an I-401k, unless you don't. Are you an individual, or you have a bunch of people working with you?
We're a small C corporation. We have only, 11 people.
Oh, so then that's probably why you're doing the simple IRA.
Yeah.
And only really ever have two people or three people participate in the simple. The rest of people never participate.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's lots of options out there. If you have the cash to do it, you might want to look at some of the other things you might be able to do. All right, I got to run.
Okay.
Good question. Sorry I can't give you an exact answer. I wish it was that simple.
That's hard to do.
Tom in Charlesville, long-term health care annuities. What can I help you with?
Yes, thank you. I'm looking at some what's called a long-term health care annuity.
Yep, I'm familiar with them.
Single premium, I pay them $50,000 is the example. I get a, quote, guaranteed $200,000 of health care, long-term health care payments out someday with a cap at $200,000. But they also, the proposal also gives me a guarantee that I at least get my $50,000 back if I end up not needing it or dying before then.
Okay.
Something that for real?
Yeah, I mean they're real, but let me ask you a question: are you healthy?
Yeah, but I'm 65.
Okay, yeah, that definitely would have an issue there. You know, one of the problems I have with these healthcare annuities and life insurance policies is that the insurance companies create these products to overcome objections. One of the objections people have is, you know, I don't want to pay in all this money to long-term care insurance and then not get any money back from it in the end. But, you know, if your main concern is insuring the risk of long-term care, there's no better way to do it than with a long-term care insurance policy where you will not get your money back in the end. That's what professional risk management tells you. You should be doing a long-term care insurance policy. But if, on the other hand, you're just thinking, you know, I want to have a little something, you know, it won't be a horrible investment. I'm already 65. I don't feel like paying the premium. I know I'm not going to insure the risk correctly, but at least it's something. And, you know, I'm just going to go with this. You know, it can do something for you, but it isn't going to insure the risk for real. I hope I'm helping you there.
Well, so it sounds like what I should do is get a comparison to what kind of coverage I'd get if I just paid $50,000 without the guaranteed return of the $50,000.
Well, you would just invest the money, and what would the investments do for you on $50,000, and then buy yourself a professional long-term care insurance with all the right provisions in it? Are you married or single?
Married.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you get shared care in the policy, you get guaranteed home health care, you get the compounded inflation, and you get a real policy to cover the risk to a certain extent. You don't need to cover the whole risk probably, but you cover, you know, 50, 60, 70% of the risk for the two of you. You figure out what your premium would be for the two of you compared to just investing the money compared to this annuity and what it could possibly do. And you'll see from a professional risk management point of view, a long-term care individual policy is going to be far better professional risk management than this annuity, which is really an insurance company's tool to overcome the objection of people who don't want to pay a bunch of money into a long-term care policy and think they'll never get anything back in the end.
Okay. So I got to go shopping. I got to do some more shopping.
You got to do some more shopping, but remember my number one rule. Do not do your long-term care planning with a long-term care insurance agent.
That sounds like a good rule.
You know, you got to do this objectively. You got to do the analysis objectively and know that you're analyzing the risk right without any pressure and without any commissioned salesperson. All right?
Thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care. I got to take my last hard pause. Really hard. Go for it.
It's hard to take.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. That doesn't sound like the theme song, too.
I don't know.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Well, I want my contribution back at the end of the show. No, I was just kidding. We were supporting Anita's daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
In her school. What grade is she in? Seventh grade. Yeah, that's cool. Anyway, we're here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show. We have about 6 minutes left. We have one caller online. We probably could take one more question, maybe two, who knows. But right now, I'll just go answer Tom's question in Millersville. And if you want to call in, 410-922-6680. Tom, how can we help you?
Yeah, probably a very simple question. I'm 81 years old. I'm only making $14,000 a year. Do I have to file taxes?
Your $14,000 is coming strictly from Social Security?
Absolutely.
No.
Great.
There are exceptions occasionally. Like, for example, back in 2009 and 2010, I think, you had to file if you wanted to get this special refund they were going to give. But for the most part, Tom, the answer is no. If that's the only income you're getting, you have no taxable income and no requirement to file.
No.
All right?
That's great. I appreciate your help.
All right, sir. Good question. Right. Yep. Take care. We're going to Richard on a cell. Richard. No, no. Don't take it, Anita says. Don't. I'm not going to take it.
She's not ready.
She's not ready. Do, 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 do. Okay. All right. Thank you, Anita. Richard on a cell. How can we help you?
I am 75 years old, and I'm working full-time. And I'm also collecting Social Security.
Hopefully you're working full-time because you love what you're doing, Richard.
That is true.
Okay, cool. What do you do?
I'm a salesman on the road.
All right, cool. What do you sell?
I sell, actually, auto parts, chemicals, and accessories.
That sounds like an interesting combination.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're collecting Social Security. You're 75.
Mm-hmm. And I have a question. Someone said to me that I can collect two Social Securities. I said, I don't think so.
No. But who would have told you that? What did they tell you that for? Did your wife pass away?
No, no.
Okay.
They just said, you keep paying. And what, and I got to pay every month. They take
Here's what they're saying, Richard, is as you keep paying in because you're still working, they're going to recalculate your Social Security every year. And as they do that, some of your old, lower income that was used in your top 35 of your Social Security calculation are going to fall out. And when they do, your Social Security is going to get increased. So you're going to get, you know, when you're hearing right now that there's going to be no increase on Social Security, I'll bet you you're going to get an increase because they're going to drop one of your earnings out from 30-some years ago, put your new one in from 2014, and say, wow, Richard deserves a higher Social Security check.
Even though 30 years ago I made more money.
Well, when you say more money, did you make more actual dollars 30-some years ago than you do today?
Yes.
Okay, so... Okay. If you're top 35 in actual dollars over the top 35 years of your earnings are more than you're making today, and it, without being inflation adjusted even, then you're right. You probably aren't going to get an increase. But that's the issue that's going on here. It's not another check. It's just a recomputation. Every year they're going to be looking at it for you.
Okay.
You don't have to do anything. If it works, they'll tell you.
Okay. All right.
All right?
Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Take care. Anyway, you know, what is it that, you know, when people call in, they tell us their age?
Yeah.
You know?
That's good. It's helpful to understand that sometimes.
I guess it is. It's very good, you know?
Yeah.
Actually, in his question, we would have needed to know the age.
Yeah, sure. And 75 and still working, you know? So I mean,
loves what he does.
Yeah.
Loves what he does. Is that proper grammar?
He loves what he does. But, well, that's like us, Drew, right? We talked about it. We don't think retirement is one of those things where we're going to do. You know, we like doing what we're doing.
Yeah, I don't see any reason to retire. We enjoy teaching people about personal finance. Mm-hmm. We enjoy working with our clients and helping them to the best of our ability, like our commercial says. What we sell is strictly the quality of our knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, it has mm-hmm. nothing to do with trying to convince people to buy products from us. It's to say, this is our knowledge, this is our information. Is this beneficial? Would you like to do a financial physical or something of that sort? We're fee only, so we're not trying to sell people the product at
right.
the end of the, you know, the end of the time. And, you know, I think most of our clients that have come to us have responded extremely well to that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they can see the heart of you and the heart of the organization and really want to help people.
Yeah. So. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's, you know, personal finances have become very complex
oh,
now.
Yeah. Yep.
And there is no such thing as, you know, I have a very good client who was telling me, "Can you know, you think I can do TurboTax this year,
right,
you know?" And
right.
she goes, "I just have one K-1, and I have to file an Indiana income tax return in addition." And
that's
I'm
all.
Like,
yeah.
"You know, you can do it, you know.
Good luck.
I'll review it to make sure you don't hurt yourself."
Right, right. Yeah, that's
tough. You know, like you, Chuck was looking at a tax return today, and this, mm-hmm. this person made about $50,000, and they somehow or another created an 8960 Medicare tax of $4,500 on their return,
wow.
but then also came up with a $4,500 extra withholding that offset it,
mm.
and it made no sense. Hopefully the IRS doesn't give her a hard time about it,
yeah.
but,
yeah.
you know, the return is right, technically,
right.
though that those offsetting numbers are wrong.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it worked
anyway,
out. Yeah.
there's no such thing as simple anymore.
That's right. Well, Medicare next week.
Yep. So. We're here. Money, Witches, and Wells. It's Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.